The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, Paul's missionary journeys are rather famous. Late in the book of Acts, we have Paul on one that was kind of unintended. This is his journey from a trial before the Jews and then eventually before the Roman authorities, from there to Rome. Now, he's not going, this isn't a pleasure cruise. This isn't something he anticipates will end well. He has been promised from the very beginning of his ministry that he's going to suffer for the name of Christ. He's been promised that he will eventually speak the gospel before kings and authorities and eventually have his day in court, so to speak. But he hasn't been promised that these journeys, whatever step along the way he takes, are going to be free from danger. In fact, at one point, Paul recounts for his readers in one of his letters the many dangers that he has suffered, including not one but two, if I'm not mistaken, shipwrecks. One of them is told us in a story in Acts chapter 27, the entire chapter, and then the following verses in chapter 28, picking up the story after everyone is safely on land. Why would God allow his appointed missionary to the Gentiles, to the Gentile world, to be shipwrecked? Joining us to talk about Paul's shipwreck in Acts chapter 27, Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Why would Christ, who called this man from his opposition, his persecution of Christianity, and did tell him he would suffer for the sake of his name, why would Christ allow his appointed apostle to the Gentiles to be shipwrecked?
So often we ask the question why God is allowing anything to happen to us. Sometimes we do find out this side of heaven. Sometimes we have to wait till after. In this particular incident, this true event of the shipwreck, we can take a look as to what happened in light of the shipwreck. And one very positive item is that in light of this shipwreck, there were a number of people, over 200 of them on the ship, who came to understand the God of Paul in a way that they had not understood before. And when they landed on the island of Malta, how many of them came to an even greater understanding listening to Paul and therefore were saved? So that would be one item I would point to among a number of others as to why God would permit this.
This is a very, very detailed account of the shipwreck. You can almost go to a map and kind of follow the course of this ship as it's making its way along the coast. And at one point, Paul even warns everybody. He warns the centurion in charge of the prisoners, look, this isn't going to end well. He says in verse 11 of chapter 27, I perceive the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only to the cargo on the ship, but also of our lives. He's warning them. What is he trying? Is Paul trying to avoid this trip?
No, I think he's trying to tell them that, you know, we ought to maybe sail at a time that is appropriate for this kind of a voyage, and therefore stay over somewhere during the winter. This was a very common voyage, and the sea travelers of that day knew that the most risky time to sail was between September 15th and November the 11th. And we know that's when they were sailing, because in Acts 27, verse 9, and this is before the Sunday school lesson actually begins, Paul talks about that this is at the time of the fast. And he's referring to, of course, the Day of Atonement, which we knew occurred in September or October. And so Paul has had some experience in ships, understands them pretty well, and therefore is just indicating to the people, warning them, this is probably not the best time to come. And then, you know, that verse that you mentioned, it's verse 10. I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. You know, Todd, I consider that to be the most important verse in this section, because Paul is presuming how God is going to deal with this ship on its voyage. And instead, as we're going to find out, an angel comes to him and tells him the very opposite. And I think this is a wonderful lesson for us, that as we move through life, many a time we look ahead and we imagine how something is going to happen. And then, of course, God does some left turns in the voyage and ends up doing things that we're not aware of. And therefore, I would say what this lesson is really about, when we say we trust God to take care of us, we cannot tell him how he's going to take care of us. We leave that in his hands, and that's really part of trust, because faith is the opposite of living by sight. It lives instead by the promises that God has given to us. And so I find it interesting that Paul makes an error in thinking that if they go on this trip, they're going to lose lives. But God had already decided that Paul was going to Rome, so nothing was going to stop them, including the loss of life.
So why was Paul on his way to Rome?
He had been charged by the religious authorities on baseless grounds. They thought that he was riling up the Christians to actually begin riots. And therefore, they said that what he was saying was really disturbing. He was actually in prison for 2 years under the former governor of Judea, and that was Felix. But later on, Festus became the new governor, heard Paul's case, and then Paul appealed his case to Caesar. And because Paul was a Roman citizen, then actually Festus had no choice but to send him to Rome so that he could have a court day in front of Rome, in front of Caesar, which was just another name for whoever the emperor was. And that's why this voyage was going to take place.
So he's on a prisoner ship, in effect. He's on his way to trial.
In fact, at the point when the ship appears to be being destroyed, the soldiers are ready to kill the prisoners, because if they lose a prisoner, they themselves can be put to death. But fortunately, the leader of them, who is also watching over Paul, refuses to allow them to do that because he wants to keep Paul safe. And lo and behold, they listen to Paul as to what he's telling them to do according to God, and they are all saved.
So they're kind of making their way along. You can, as I said before, you can kind of follow their difficult travails at sea. In verse 21, it said, since they have been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, it's kind of like an I told you so, Tom. He says, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet I now urge you, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. And you mentioned just a moment ago that angel of God. Tell us what Paul says there with before we take our next break.
Okay, this is in chapter 27, verse 23, where Paul makes the point that an actual angel came to him and told him that there would be no loss of life. And this angel was of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. I think that's a very important point. And the other point I do want to make, it doesn't say this is the angel of God, the angel of the God. And so some people might suggest that this could be actually Jesus Christ, because he's often referred to as the angel of the Lord over 70 times in the Bible. But in this particular case, I would guess that this could probably be either Michael or Gabriel, the only two angels named in the Bible. outside of the devil, of course, who's a fallen angel. But be as it may, if there's another angel he used here, he's unnamed, but it would not be the angel of the Lord, namely Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, August the 18th, Paul's shipwreck in Acts chapter 28, verses 38 and 44. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and you'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Leave it to the Lutheran Church to want all the discarded crap from evangelicalism and evangelical worship, jumping on that boat at the moment evangelicals are leaving it.
Craig Parton, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And it's my generation, the baby boomer generation, that frankly needs to die to leave all these entertainment orientation, market orientation, me orientation. What can the church do for me today? That kind of perspective in the Lutheran churches, which is really needs to be extirpated in some way.
You can listen to Craig Parton's presentation, Making the Case Against Lutherans Imitating Evangelicals, on an audio DVD from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're in Acts chapter 27 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, August the 18th, Paul's shipwreck. When we went to the break, we were talking about this angelic visitor that Paul says has seen him that very night, told him the ship will be lost, but there will be no loss of life. Now we get to the issue of the actual shipwreck, and apparently there's some question before we get to that. There's some question as to how many people were actually on the boat. Some people are going to read the footnotes in their Bible, and they're going to say, it says in the text, and this is Luke's accounting, we were in all 276 persons in the ship, as to how many people are actually survived this thing. But the footnote says maybe 76 or about 76. How would you reconcile that, Tom?
Those are different manuscripts, and I just finished going through a book that I had found I've had a long time, where they go through what's called the critical apparatus, and that's where you see the different manuscripts, and they try and figure out why would something be changed. And one of the criterion they use is that if the reading is harder to understand, then that probably means that's the original reading. Because if you're going to change something that seems hard, you go to something simpler. And so the thinking is that it is 276, but that seemed to be impossible because on a boat you could have those many people. Well, it just so happens that there's historical accounts where there were actually not just 276 people, but 600 people. Josephus, for example, was a historian of that day, and he claims to have traveled on a ship like this, loaded with 600 passengers. So remember, these people were not just the ship's crew, then you might think of 76, but these are also prisoners, as well as all the Roman soldiers that were guarding them. So I don't have any problem with the 276, and the better manuscripts, which means the ones that appear to be written closer to the time of the original Bible, the number is 276 in those, and it's the later ones where the number 76 is found.
Now, the story is told kind of in stages of it's getting worse and worse and worse, and their attempts to deal with their hard going in sea, not just storms, and it's eventually a reef or rocks that break up the ship. But in the midst of this, we have Paul for a second time standing up, not only saying that he's seen this angel, but about, this has to be like 2 weeks later, same journey, Paul stands up in verse 33, and he actually tries to encourage everybody there, even though he knows full well that in a couple of verses, the ship's going to be torn apart.
Well, remember, he has that promise from the angel of God that no life will be threatened. And so in verse 34, he encourages them to take some food because for 14 days they have continued in suspense without food. Have you been around somebody who just doesn't get 2 days of sleep and has not eaten yet? I mean, the first thing you do is sit down, relax, have something to drink, have a sandwich. In other words, he's preparing them because when they get in the water, they're going to need strength to get to the land because they're all not going to be on a boat. They have already gotten rid of the boat, that little boat that they could have, some of them got into and rowed to shore. But what had happened is they discovered some of the men wanted to escape in that. And Paul made a clear point that, no, nobody, we all have to stay together. The thing that really surprises me, Todd, is why all these people listened to him. I mean, these were not Christians. Nothing had happened on the boat yet to say, well, boy, this is the man we need to follow. But what happens is that God, the Holy Spirit, and this is really important for the Sunday school children to understand, that he works through Christians even to help unbelievers. And so whatever was necessary for God to do to help them listen to Paul and follow his directions, God did it. And the Sunday school children need to understand that in their behavior, they're really witnessing the kind of God they believe in. And remember, God doesn't need our works, but our neighbor does. God works through us to help out the neighbor. And I find this a very fascinating detail here, that one of the reasons God allowed the shipwreck is so that these people could come to a learning experience about the God that Paul worshiped. Remember, they ended up staying on Malta 3 months. So you can only imagine how much those who were on the ship were also listening as Paul was preaching to the natives who were on Malta.
So this is interesting because they would have tried to sail as close to land as possible. That was just the wise way to sail at any particular time, within sight of land, or if that was impossible, at least to cut across the shortest route possible. They leave Crete against Paul's advice. And at least according to the diagram I'm looking at here, they are driven by this wind that is, for 14 days, straight westward into, well, they're going to hit something eventually, but into the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And it sounds as though even the seasoned sailors, you said they wanted to escape, they're terrified by this. They want out of this situation. And Paul keeps saying, relax, everything's going to be okay.
Yes, they were still in verses 18 and 19, jettisoning the cargo, you know, because the less amount of cargo, perhaps the better the ship was able to stay afloat. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. In other words, anything that could possibly maybe save them, they were trying to do. Remember, they had not seen the sun nor stars for many days. And when it says, no small tempest lay on us, that's verse 20, well, that means it was a big tempest, and all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned.
What does that mean, Tom?
It's in a situation that perhaps many of us have experienced, where you so get down because of what is happening in your experience. You as a pastor, I as a pastor, have seen this happen to spouses who have had their loved ones die, and they're just all alone, and it just takes a long time for them to get back, and all hope is lost because their whole life. I recall when my son was killed in a motorcycle accident. I think Louise and I that day were talking about a new car we were thinking of getting. We were all excited. And then when the knock on the door came with one of our members, who was a policeman, informing us what happened to Philip, I mean, the furthest thing from our mind was our new car. And had it not been for Jesus Christ, there would have been no hope there. There would have been no hope at all that we would be able to get through the next few days. But God did get us through the next few days, because our shipwreck was also being guided by God in the same way that God guides every one of our listeners' shipwrecks who are in Christ, because he showed how he did it with Paul.
So is that the picture here, Tom, that we're supposed to take away at this point before the ship is wrecked? This thing is apparently the ship and all its crew, they're getting rid of everything. Eventually they throw the wheat overboard, which would have been, you know, the profit from this journey, would have paid for the journey. They're left with nothing. They're just hoping against hope for even the day to come. Is that kind of the point here, that it is not the blind forces of nature, but in fact God that is driving this ship toward Rome?
It definitely is, because God would not, that the storm would not have been allowed to even take place without God's permission. And Paul, knowing the Septuagint, the Old Testament Greek, as well as he did, probably had in mind Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Why? Because there's a promise. God is our refuge and strength. And of course, we all know that Martin Luther used that Psalm 46 as the basis of his most popular hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take one more break, and when we come back, we'll conclude our conversation with him on Paul's shipwreck in Acts chapter 27, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. We'll be right back.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Paul's shipwreck in Acts chapter 27 with Pastor Tom Baker. As we've been talking here, there's actually a map, a chart of sorts, in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, Lutheran Bible Companion, the second volume that deals with the intertestamental period and the New Testament, an actual map of Paul's journey to Rome, and it shows exactly where this went. Now, one of the things that's remarkable about this chapter is it has place names, times of the year. We can pinpoint this down on a map. The places they were, there's no question here. This is remarkably accurate material. In fact, Acts chapter 27, as you will note in the Lutheran Bible Companion, is one of those places that the advocates of Scripture's veracity point to when the critics of Scripture say, this is all made up stuff. They say, no, you can't make this up. Not this kind of accuracy. So kind of the resources and the direction and focus that you will find in Lutheran Bible Companion, two volumes, a great resource for the students of Scripture, both casual or professional. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August by going to our website, issuesetc.org. You will find a link on every page, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Lutheran Bible Companion Volumes 1 and 2. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The resource is called Lutheran Bible Companion in two volumes, and it's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August. Tom, we come to the actual shipwreck, which is interesting because even when they see land, they don't recognize it. They're making every attempt, given the limited resources they have, to run the ship aground or run the ship ashore. But even then, they strike a reef and the ship is destroyed. Why do the soldiers traveling there want to kill all the prisoners?
The reason for that, this is verse 42, the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape, because if they escaped, the soldier was held responsible for it. We see that in the jailer at Philippi, who was almost ready to kill himself when he had the earthquake, which allowed the apostles to, you know, get up and leave. And instead, everybody was still there because he knew he would be put to death if he had lost any of the prisoners, even in light of an earthquake. So you couldn't say to Nero, who, by the way, was emperor at the time, well, the reason they escaped, we had this big storm. Well, why didn't you kill them? And so they were about to do that in order to keep their own lives.
And why, I mean, just as a matter of detail, why did the centurion who was in charge of them, why did he allow not only Paul to live, but everybody else in the course of it, too?
The verse 43 gives us that answer. But the centurion wishing to save Paul. Can you imagine being on guard over Paul this long and not hearing about Jesus, not hearing about what true love is? It almost reminds me, if he wasn't yet saved, he would be like a Nicodemus who goes to Jesus at nighttime so nobody notices him and asks, well, what's this about how I can be saved by getting back in my mother's womb? And Jesus has that conversation with him. And obviously he does come to faith because even though he's a member of the Sanhedrin, as is Joseph of Arimathea, they go to Pontius Pilate after the death of Jesus to request to take his body down from the cross.
So they are all 276 of them, safely on land. Talk about the aftermath of this shipwreck and the opportunity that Paul would then have to spend, as you said, 3 months undoubtedly proclaiming the gospel in Malta.
I didn't study that because it ends at verse 44, the Sunday school lesson.
I'm not buying it, Tom. I know.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It's very good. Yeah, they should put in, the teacher should continue, because this is when that viper, that poisonous snake, bites Paul as he's putting his hand into some sticks. And, of course, the people on Malta, being theologians of the law, think, boy, this would only happen to somebody who's a murderer. And so they just sit there waiting for him to die, to swell up, and nothing happens. And then he later on does even another miracle. And so it says, in the neighborhood of that place, this Publius received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days, and his father lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And then it says, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. And so verse 11 says, after 3 months, can you imagine how the people clung to Paul during those 90 days, listening to the message of Jesus Christ? And now we get kind of an answer. Why did God interrupt this voyage to Rome in order that these people might be brought to faith?
And he does still go to Rome. I mean, Paul knows that this journey may well mean his eventual execution, doesn't he?
Well, this is a point I really believe that needs to be brought by the teachers. You know, we've been doing a lot of the miracles of Jesus, Todd, recently. And one of the things you might get the impression of, that when you ask for something, God delivers it. People are hungry, 5,000 are fed. A man is blind, and all of a sudden he can see. A man is lame, he carries his bed. Paul is in a huge situation with a big storm, and the entire ship of people get to dry ground, and they are saved. But we need to understand that even within this episode, Paul himself was mistaken about how God might lead these people to be dead if they went on this journey. And the angel had to correct his view. And the other thing I'd like to say is that I'm sure he was looking forward to go to Rome, because what better audience than Rome to hear the message? And we know that so many people loved hearing Paul when he arrived. But we also need to remember that in Nero's last year of life, AD 68, not just Paul, but also Peter, both of them were martyred in Rome.
So what's the message here, generally for all of us, and then for the Sunday school kids, in this long, very detailed, fascinating story of Paul's shipwreck and the eventual opportunity that it affords for him to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified?
I would use the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 28:20, after giving the Great Commission about baptizing and teaching, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Therefore, what is being said by the Bible is what Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 really summarize well. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And as you go through the biblical characters, from even Adam and Eve and Abraham and David and Solomon and even back to Job, that's exactly, God kept his promises. So I was having a discussion with someone who was giving the impression that they wait for the Holy Spirit to give them a sign to make a decision. I said, you don't have to do that, because as long as your decision is not sin, whatever decision you make, all of God's promises are going to come along with you in the making of that decision. and he's going to work all things out to your good under that decision. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You will never have a temptation beyond you're able to endure, and you can talk about the other hundreds of promises found in the Bible. But unless you find a specific promise as to how God is going to deal with your life, then you need to be open to any situation that may be occurring and rest in peace. And I tell you, some of our friends in the Baptist tradition have such a good attitude. No matter what happens to them, you'll often hear them, "Thank you, Lord." And sometimes that thanks goes up to God, and you don't know why. But what you're thanking him for is the promise behind the circumstance that just happened to you, that it will work out together for your good.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we'll talk with Tom about the river of life in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Tom, thanks for your time.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Terry Mattingly of Get Religion about media coverage of Robin Williams' suicide. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Folks, you have just 2 weeks left to order an audio DVD from this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This audio DVD contains more than 8 hours of teachings on topics like classical Christian hymnody, Pastor Will Whedon, the impact of Christianity on civilization, that's Dr. Alvin Schmidt, American Evangelicalism, Craig Parton, Me-Centered Christianity, Chris Roseborough, and Confessional Lutheranism from Pastor Matt Harrison. It's so much more that is there. It's 8 hours. It'll take you a long time to listen to it. 8 hours, in fact, to listen to it. This new audio DVD from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Find out more and place your order online. Just click the audio DVD logo at issuesetc.org or make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. The address again, Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois. Please write audio DVD on the memo line of your check. That's way we know exactly what that's for. It's an audio DVD from the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Paul thinks he knows what's going to happen. He thinks we're all going to die. It doesn't happen. He eventually learns to listen and to trust the promises of Christ. Kind of like us. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zolch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.